And tonight I'm going to complete a task I already told you about a couple of weeks ago, or maybe more than that. I guess the last time I spoke, I promised to Pastor asked me, would you be willing to tell about the steel square, framing square? You ought to do that here. So everybody hears about it. Okay. All right. And so I'm keeping a promise. We're going to talk about the square. This is a square right here. As you know, Lucille and I spent a good time of our lives going all over the countryside, not wandering, but going from place to place and building churches. And we had a great time doing that. And actually, it was 42 years of ministry. And then, of course, before that, I pastored two churches in the upstate New York area. But over the years, in trying to raise support, we always had these little sermon things or sermonette things we put together on deputation. So no matter what they wanted us to do, we'd be ready to do most anything. On one occasion, they asked me to have Sunday school class, and the church was going to have an all-day thing with missionary conference, and somebody else preached for Sunday morning, but I had an afternoon session, and then a session about 5 o'clock, and then an evening session. So by the end of the day, I was tired, but about 4:30, our three girls, who were teenagers then, all got silly, and they headed for the restroom and started laughing, you know, they were just giggling. So, because they were just tired, you know, tired out. Our three girls often spent much of their time with us as we traveled and spoke. And when we went to Alaska 2 summers, they went with us. And oft times they'll bring up now and then a scene that refreshes my memory. You know, oh, yes, I remember that. And so that's how this came about, this little message here. Not all of it. I've added to it for tonight. I had a little short version at our men's breakfast one time, some time back. Well, before we begin, show a word of prayer. Father God, how thankful we are to have so many people pray for us and so many people concerned about our ministry in the past, and they can still see us, and they write to us, and we have phone calls with thanksgiving and joy and delight, as we did today even. And we thank you, Lord, that thou gave us this wonderful opportunity of being used of you. And so tonight, as we come with that our hearts might be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And as you direct us through this, we know what we want to do, but sometimes we need to be diverted elsewhere. So we ask his leading and guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about the framing square, shall we? This is kind of an elementary type of thing. It is called a framing square. Okay? It's not a little tiny triangle thing. It's not a speed square, a little plastic thing you can buy in the store. But a good share of the information is on both sides. There's writing on this. You can't see it from probably down there. There's writing, a little numbers and words on this. You want to come and look at it later? You may do so. I don't try to keep this all polished every day because my hands are wet and dirty, and it might have had it out in the rain, and it gets dirty, and somebody, you know, it falls on the ground or in the mud or whatever. I never use it for prying anything because it might make it out of square. But here it is. This has a wealth of information on this. So I'll show you some of that information as we go along here. But the square. If I hide this square back here, is it still 90-degree angle? If I take it to Alaska, still the same? If I never use it from now until I die, which I don't know when that's be, will it still be the same? Still the same. Still 90-degree angle. 90-degree angle. 90-degree angle. It doesn't change, and that's why I use it, because it's always there. Even if I bump it a little bit, it doesn't change. That's why it's made out of steel. You cannot bend it. You can't twist it. It's always 90 degrees. It's always true. It's always true to itself. Remember that. Right down in the little corner of your brain, your mind. It's always the same. We'll come back to that idea somewhere in the message concerning that. Most of the time we use this just to, you know, square off a board, you know, especially if it's long, wider than 2 or 3 inches. We get that little speed square or the combination square or adjustable square. We use it on that. Some of you men don't know what I mean. You know, that slide square. But when you go up to 12 inches, you can't quite reach it. Or 16. This is 16 here, and this is 24. And so you mark it off, and then you cut it, and then mark it on, and so on and so forth. So, that's generally speaking, that's what we use it for. But, you know, it's also used for building rafters, cutting rafters, and so on. Now, before we get into the rafter business, I know this is a piece of paper, and some of you can read what the numbers are down here. What is that number? Got good eyesight? Can't see it. Okay. All right. This is square here, okay? Now, in geometry, how many took math in high school? Okay. You know what I'm going to say now, all right? A right triangle has three sides. This side, and this side, and this side. What's this side called? Hypotenuse. Okay, that's how that is. It's H-Y-P-O, whatever, T-E-N-U-S-E, hypotenuse. I think that's right, yeah. It's opposite from this angle here. It's always opposite from there. All right, now, if I should give you 5 here and 12 here, then I know what this is. Okay? You take and multiply this by itself. 5 times 5 is 25. All right? 12 times 12 is 144. Now, add those two figures together for me, will you please? What's the answer? 169. What's the square root of 169? 13. Okay? Now, that information is always true. Now, if you get a square like this, and it's kind of odd-shaped, okay, is this true for this square? Yes, it is. You know, no matter what we do, we can still find out. We have 11 here, and I have 14 here. And it's about 17.8 down through here. I already figured that out for you, so no matter what it is. By the way, man didn't make this up. Man didn't just all of a sudden decide these squares are this, what are we going to do? No. It's always been. It's something that man discovered. See? It's always been this way. The hypotenuse of a right triangle always is that way. And it doesn't change. So, I wanted to just go over that a little bit with you so you know what I'm doing here. Okay. All right. Now, I have a building, and this building is going to have some rafters. And so you can visualize this is the ceiling here, and this is a rafter. It could be any pitch you wanted from here all the way up through. Most generally, pitches today, to go by the number on the outside here, usually starting no less than 3 and going on up. And if it gets steeper than that, like the steeple on the church, then we do it like this. And still it comes out the same. All right? So, 512 pitch, right there. 512 pitch, right there. Just like I had a few minutes ago. 512 pitch, that's the pitch right there. That's average what most houses are. Could be 612 pitch, could be 7. But that's generally what we have used. I had some other helps here. Okay, so we take our square. Can you see this? Can you see this? Okay, this is the outside wall. This is up in the center. Okay, and so it actually gets the exact true 5 and 12. See, 5 and 12. There's the pitch at the peak. So you could have got it all right there. You can lay it right down here and cut it. And over here, and you can mark this right here and cut it. You can measure from this point down through here, and you'll be able to get that. Okay. I have another sheet here. You can't see this one. You almost. Okay. If my building is 28 feet wide, and then 14 feet to the center, and this is what you have. Can you see that at all? No, I didn't think so. I had Matt put them on this on a CD, and it didn't work out, I guess. So, but anyways, and so that's very easy to do. You can take the measurement and measure it right on the sawhorse, and okay, this is right, and cut it, and there, and hand it up to the guys on the roof. They'll put one on this side and one on that side, and they'll fit. Now, there's some other issues you have to deal with. You have to subtract at the peak if you have a ridge pole or ridge board, how their thickness that is. If it's an inch and a half thick, like a 2x8 at the peak, that these butt two, you must subtract 3/4 from each one. Okay, and it's directly at right angles with the peak cut. Okay. Now, we also use a square if we're doing something else. What do I use a square for? And when I have a two-story house. You can see that, can't you? This stairs here, the stringers, it's real wood. Can't you tell? See the grain? Okay, all right. Okay. Let's see, I took a draft in high school, so I did do this kind of thing. All right. Normally what it's rough cut is, or basement stairs, is 10 by 7.5. No more than 7.5. And pitch on that side, because if otherwise it's too steep. Especially us older folks that can't pick our feet up quite high enough. So remember that the nosing of the treads sticks out beyond the 10 inches, some most likely another inch and a half or inch and a quarter or thereabouts. So there's other things that deal with that too as well. So you see how useful this tool is? And, of course, if I want to know, see how quickly I don't want to multiply this 5 times 5 and 12 by 12 and all that. I just look down here. It says 5. Okay, it's 13. Okay. I go up here at 10. It's 15. If it's 12 by 10, it's 15 and 0.65. It's all on this. The length of the common rafter per foot of run. Or the hip in the valley. And the difference between each jack, you know what a jack is? It comes up, butts to the hip, it goes down. Here's the peak of the roof, and here's the thing going down like that on an angle, and no one going down like that. There's the outside wall and the outside wall. And so this is the hip, and these are jack rafters. And so it's interesting, and we learned this over the period of time, and the Lord's been good to us to use that information. So I have a book that's this thick called The Steel Square. And oft times we check on some things in that book. We forgot how to do this. The steel square, the framing square, is durable, will last forever. Almost forever. One other thing about this steel square, I must remind you, I keep reminding myself, and what is it, class? You know anything about it? Know anything about the shape? A, B, C, D, E, F, L. Yeah, okay, I get around. I do that all the time, you know. Okay. L. I often thought of the things that this steel framing, the framing square, represents. It represents trueness, always right angles, always true, always faithful, never changes, filled with information, durable. And so I think of one or several things. The symbol itself, the letter L, the law of the Lord is true. It never changes. It never changes. I'm going to read just a few verses in this. Probably there are the verses I talked about when I talked about the level or the plumb line. But I'm just going to read them for you to remind you that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And I read you need to read verse 10 of this. This is Psalm 19. There's a chorus that my girls used to sing about these verses here, and I haven't been able to find the music. But it's a good chorus to... Huh? Yeah, okay, all right, good. And this is the chorus. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. And more by them are their servant worn. In keeping of them, there is great reward. And so it's important for us to think what the psalmist is saying. The law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, they are what God wants us. Follow these things. Then I remember that every part of the framing square representative, I told you, is seen here in these verses. I've often thought about the Lord Himself. He is always the same. He doesn't change. Here's some verses. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness or shadow of glass turning. That's a variableness. Or shadow like an eclipse. I think that's a common commentary says not like the eclipse. No shadow of turning. It's always true, always seen there. Yes, the Lord is that. Trust in one who does not change. Trust in one who is always there. Trust in one you can depend on. Can you depend on man? Once in a while, I have people I can trust in. They say they're going to do this for me, and so, lo and behold, they always carry the promise out. See? I've done that. I could tell you several stories, but I don't have time tonight. It might go on for several hours. But here, the square, the framing square, also represents something else. Brother Smith shared a little bit about this morning. What did he talk about? L-I-G-H-T. Light. Light. Oh, my. I have to go to Matthew chapter 5. Isn't this strange? I had this all prepared. When he did that, I said, oh, my, I hope he don't take all my sermon. So, let me just read a few things here in verses 14, 15, and 16. Ye are the light of the world, the city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick to give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That was a good sermon this morning. I think we need to be admonished and take note of these things. It's important. Let me backtrack just a little bit and remind you that even in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. You know, darkness represents sin. Light represents holiness. Ephesians 5:8. I think I got the wrong reference, but anyhow. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. How wonderful to know that. What a contrast. I heard a preacher on the TV this morning. I was just kind of resting on listening. And he said, how often if you stand up in the middle of a crowd and say you're a Christian, that you might be bullied or thrown out. Huh? Yeah. We're different. We're light. We're not like the rest of the world. The world of darkness. Darkness keeps going down, 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 right? That's why we have evil, 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 evil. So we need to stand up and count it for Christ. One other thing. And tonight, all these L's. There's one other big thing in the Bible that God talks about. And the L. He says, love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about God's love. In the Greek, it's a word called agape. Fleshly love is phileo. Philadelphia is named after phileo. I'm moving all the scene here. Probably could take this off the tape. Not talk about it, but I guarantee if you went to Philadelphia, would you say it was a city of brotherly love? You'd probably come back and say it was a city of brotherly love, right? So that's the way it is. God's love, agape. I trust you opened up the 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And just, I'm going to read down through this, because I think it's important. Here in this chapter, he gives a definition of what love is. The agape love, he paints a picture of what it looked like. Though I speak with angels, speak of tongues of men and angels, and have not God's love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not agape, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not God's love, it profits me to nothing. Now, here we go. God's love suffers long. God's love is kind. God's love envieth not. God's love vaunteth not itself. God's love is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, out of place, seeketh not her own, is not easy provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I'm going to take a breather right there. Stop a minute. I'm already, if this was dessert, I'd be a fool at this point. So much here in these verses. We're only to verse 6 now. God's love beareth all things. God's love believeth all things. God's love hopeth all things, endureth all things. God's love never faileth. But where there is prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, that is right now, that's all we do know. We don't know everything. And we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, I put away childish things. For now we see through glass darkly. It's like looking into a shiny piece of brass. Then face to face. Now I know in part, but now when I shall know, even as I am known. Now by it, faith, hope, and God's love. Agape. Notice what it says next. These three, but the greatest of all these is God's love. How important that is. My one prayer as I became older, as if I have arrived already at that location, I've been gradually climbing the stairs, and it seemed like it's not 7.5 inches. It's more like that turned the square around. It is 10. I realize more and more important for me to be a person that is just expressed here in this 13th chapter. Who would like an ugly, mean old man to deal with? My prayer is I can do this. I can bring praise to the Savior because I have God's love inside. I used to be selfish. I used to be mean. I used to be bossy. And if you have a bunch of volunteers, maybe you need to be. But no, I've discovered that life is more than just getting the work done. It's working with people and finding joy and delight. And looking back over the day and over the month and over the years and say, I thank God you kept my mouth, you kept my heart in tune with you, God. Love is not proud. Not seeketh its own. And it's certainly important for us as believers in Christ to demonstrate the agape love that God gave to us and wants to give to us and to give to the world. We're just going to pass it on. What a joy and delight. If I could come to the end of my life and people would say, he was like Christ. God's love. Is that your prayer? Father, these words from your scripture is penetrating. It is certainly challenging. It is certainly what you want us to do. That's why you put us here. Your love is expression of your goodness. It is a commitment to do what is best for the object of love, regardless of the pain or cost that may be involved. It is eternal, sacrificial, and unconditional. We love you, our Father, for allowing us to enjoy just a little glimpse of what you want to do. And we love you. We're looking forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.